It's Brian, your lunatic friend, where I'm telling you the last half of the story of Blue Skies. And if you check the credits, you will note that there are studios in Nashville and in Los Angeles, because I was doing this record while I was traveling around the country most of the time. All I remember about Nashville studio, 17 grand. No, that's not what we spent. That was the name of the studio. When I walked in, they were already recording drum tracks. And the only thing I really remember about the Nashville studio was producer Dan Postma playing the early stages of After the This Day Is Gone. It sounded like another song on the radio by Tears for Fears. And that's the first thing I said to him is, wow, it sounds like everybody wants to rule the world and nobody's doing it. I told Dan I didn't like the way the song started, sounding like somebody else's song, but the song would remain the same. And I didn't have time to argue about it. Seems to me, during this year, I was on the My Utmost for His Highest tour. It was a multiple artist compilation record based on the book by Oswald Chambers. I'd never read Oswald before now, but I've read him ever since. I can't recall all the artists that were on that record, but I know I was on tour with Stephen Curtis Chapman and Sandy Patty and Twyla Paris. I know they were on it, but all I remember now is it wasn't my regular crowd. It was aimed at regular churchgoers. I think it was mostly in the summer, and it was a two-bus operation with a couple of semis. There was one bus for artists, and the band and the crew were on another bus. And naturally, I chose that bus to tour on because it was closer to Animal House, because I wasn't sure I would fit in with the artists on this tour. They seemed more Christian than me, but I only mentioned this tour because I met one of the best musicians I ever heard. Scott Sheriff was the keyboard player. He was backing up all the artists, effortlessly learning every song to every artist. I would write two songs with him that would go on the Blue Skies project. And my favorite one I still play to this day. The song is called A Whisper Heard Round the World. My original idea was to sing about how rumors travel faster than truth, but I couldn't find any redemption in that. The opening lyrics were inspired by a trip to Hawaii. I played a few concerts there, but I was able to bring my wife and two boys, and we had a little time off where I would take some scuba diving lessons, and I recalled a story the instructor would tell me about the air bubbles floating to the top, even 40, 50 feet down. He said, if you look at the top of a large air bubble, it reflects the surface and the sky above the water. And I would start the lyrics for Whisper, like a tiny little bubble of air rises from the bottom of the sea, slips the sapphire silence to the surface where it longs to be, up to the light of love, to where the air of hope is sweet. I'm delirious and I'm delighted when I finally reach the spot complete. I would make the song about how quickly you can connect to God, no matter how deep under the surface you feel like you are. And I would sing, with the close of my eyes, from the hole in my heart, comes a whisper heard round the world. And I'm not really sure if I captured the euphoria that comes with the understanding of how the sky could still be reflected, even in the pitch black of 50 feet down in the ocean. Now I'd write another song with Scott Sheriff. The song was called Dying to Meet You. It was inspired when someone said that. On the way to a personal appearance, we always called them a meet and greet. We were usually running late for those. And it was a guy that said, man, people are dying to meet you. And I remember saying, well, I hope they don't go that far. But later, when my sarcasm wears off, I started thinking about our own mortality and how the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And nobody really wants to think about that. I think that's how we get so busy in our lives, trying to avoid the fact that we don't get to stay here. And I was hyper aware of dying because my dad used that in every altar call since I was a kid. He would say, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? I think in altar calls it was an effective fear tactic because he made me think about dying. And I would start the lyrics of this song, there's a longing deep inside me, some say is a good thing, even though it's producing such an aching in my heart and all this restless imagination of what eternity is like. And seeing God for the first time brings a sense of fear but anticipation, like streaks of gold and purple mixing in the morning sky. I wouldn't sing this song in a live concert setting. This song was mostly for people while they're driving in their car listening to a whole CD, where God's got a little time with them by themselves. But I would sing it at my grandmother's funeral a year later. The last time I saw her alive was when she looked up at my dad from her hospital bed and said, wow, how long does it take to die? She had been lingering for several weeks. Ella Duncan was one of the founding members of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God Church in Delta, Colorado, and one of the last original members to pass away. And I would write another song after this called Tell Me Where You Are, because I don't want you to feel lost forever. It was partly inspired by a story I had heard about runaway kids, and I would put myself in that circumstance and sing, you never said goodbye before tearing away, and I could never find you. Yeah, it started out about runaway kids, but it was also when I would think about people who had passed away and how much I wanted to say, what's it like after this? Tell me where you are. Because I would like to know the joy that angels know. And I would spend a great deal of time thinking about what joy might be, because I wasn't sure I had it, and I would write about it in another song called Joy is a Singable Thing. I would write it with a friend of mine, James Felix. Before playing with me, he was playing with Andre Crouch and the Disciples, and he knew his way around some funky music, and he brought me a track that sounded like James Brown meets Larry Graham of Sly and the Family Stone. I would simply write lyrics over it about a joy I wasn't sure I had, and I would sing, it's not peace, it's not happiness, must be something rolled up in between. And I was on the freeway headed to the studio in Los Angeles, and I was listening to this track when I would get pulled over by the CHP for excessive enthusiasm in my driving that I would blame on the music I was listening to at an incredible volume. I let the patrolman hear a little bit of it and said, I'm sorry, I must have translated that to my foot on the gas pedal. And maybe it was the fact that I wasn't denying that I was over the speed limit that he didn't write me up that time. And I was thinking about how I had a satisfied look because I didn't get what I deserved right there. And even on a routine day, this music made me want to sing. And by the time I got to the studio, the hook was born. Joy is a singable thing. Show worth singing about. And here's where I would add a Larry Graham thing in the bridge. Can't imagine it'd be too hard to have it when you're hanging with the heavenly host. Na 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 na. But when you're out there facing down your troubles now, I don't mind a present from the Holy Ghost. And the rest of the song is history. And that brings me to a song that I still love to play, unplugged with just me and a piano. It's a song called Blue Skies, and it became the title track simply because I just love this groove. Donald Fagen had a song out on one of his records. It's my all-time favorite album, called The Nightfly. And there's a song on there called Ruby Baby, with one of the best bass lines I've ever heard. And it goes, dump, bump, ba da da da. And that's how I would start Blue Skies, with a cool bass line that's very similar to his. And the lyrics to Blue Skies was inspired when I laughed at something on the radio and realized that it had been a long time since I'd laughed at anything, simply because of the difficulties I was having at home. And here's where it's really easy to lose your focus on anything that's good. When you can't see beyond the mess you're in. No, my circumstances didn't change that day, but with a single laugh, I realized that it won't always be this way. And the lyrics came out easy. I saw a clearing in the clouds today, much to my surprise. And here's where you'd think that everything changed for me and it was all smooth sailing from there. But the truth was, it was a momentary glimpse of a bigger purpose for my life in spite of the failures that I was experiencing. And I sing, to know how you love me has helped me change my ways. Summer sun is coming back to melt my troubles away, and I'm amazed at the worries I can leave behind. But one thing that's still here are the songs that got me through times where the sky wasn't so blue. And that's the story of my Blue Skies project here on NutshellSermons.com and the episode of Jesus and Music. Thanks for listening and supporting what you believe in.